Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
JBTV. Welcome to the JBTV podcast. Each and every show is dedicated to great music lovers. Are you ready? The podcast starts right here, right now.
New music now.
Welcome to Chicago. This is a JBTV special presentation. In Chicago, everybody knows about the Morton Salt Factory and their slogan, "When it rains, it pours." As a historic location, the Morton Salt Factory closed. And now, it's become the Salt Shed. Last year, we had an advanced look at the construction of the brand new indoor facility. Along with the indoor facility, they have a massive outdoor space that overlooks the city of Chicago. In the year 2023, it's now open, entertaining thousands, where every seat in the house is a great seat. And backstage, there's an area for the bands to load in. And the green rooms, they're not just green, they rock. They are beautiful, fully equipped with couches, bathrooms with showers. Anything an artist would need is located backstage. Plus catering and craft services. Every detail is there for the entertainer in mind. And now, I'd like you to meet Bruce and Tim. We're going to be talking about the Salt Shed in the city of Chicago.
I'm Tim Shane.
Bruce Finkelman.
So here we are.
Hey.
So welcome to JBTV. What I like about you is that you have a history of great music in the city of Chicago. I mean, with the Empty Bottle, Antalya Hall.
Promontory.
It means a lot because So many bands come into JBTV and what they talk about, we had, you know, the empty bottle, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so important for the early bands to have their exposure there, you know?
Oh, so important. And I think it's, you know, the thing is, you know, you hear about like making your vacation your vocation. Well, I mean, I think I know myself. This is where it came from. This is where my love of music came from. It came from the live music, from the clubs and working in clubs when I was younger. And I know that the people that are around us all feel that way. And I think that's really kind of the heart of it, is that when Tim's not working here, which is all the time now, I'll see him at the Bottle, or I'll see him at Thalia going to see a show that he wants to see. And I think that's just kind of the centerpiece of our playground, is the fact that we all really love live music and what that does for individuals and what that does for, you know, how you experience things.
It's therapy,
but it's also a place where you get to meet people. The reason why I started the Empty Bottle so many years ago is because I had troubles finding where I belonged. So, I mean, to be able to create that space that, you know, I would feel comfortable and Tim would feel comfortable, there was bound to be some other people out there that felt that same way and wanted that kind of room to feel comfortable.
So when did the Empty Bottle first open? When were you first?
1992.
So what was your dream back then when you did that?
To have a place, like I said, where there was live music, where I belonged, where, you know, it was, you know, it was just something that I loved, and it was something that I wanted to be part of. And that was a way that I felt like I could become part of it, was, you know, opening the first Bottle for $854 and the community that was around us at the time. And, you know, to open up the doors and see what happened.
Yeah, music got, you know, I went through stage 4 colon and lung cancer.
Yeah.
And music really was the thing that that saved my life, I believe, you know. Because I'd go from a show, like at our studio, and we'd have all these bands come in, and I would go from chemotherapy and then do a show. It meant so much because you know how it is when musicians, they can be not feeling good, or even, you know how it is when you want to do something, you get up on stage and you get the excitement of the venue. if things change, you just feel better immediately.
The mood you have when you walk into some place can be definitely altered and changed by your experience in that place. And I see that with myself, with a bad mood when you walk into to see a show, and the experience of talking to Tim or talking to anybody else that you come in contact with, and you walk out feeling just a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, you have built a world-class venue here.
Well, I wish I could take all the credit for it, but there's a lot of people that helped build this venue.
Well, I know. I saw Tim doing all the work. No,
it's not me. It's just Tim. It's Tim. Tim did a great job. He just put it on his shoulder.
Well, I love the design. You thought of everything because you have such experience in putting venues together, where you got the load in perfect for the bands, and you got the power. I remember Tim was showing us before all of it was, you know, fully built out.
Nerd.
But that means so much. You have power for the lights. You have power for the stage. Everything is built right.
I was told that you needed power to do this thing, right?
But yeah. Clean power. Because, like, you know, a lot power. Of times the audio gets, you know, when you have the dimmers and things go, you get buzzes and stuff. And You've eliminated all that the way you put it together.
Once again, there's a lot of people that limited those those buzzes. It was not me. Uh-huh. I just, yeah. So, I mean.
Well, you should take credit for it because, you know.
Some of the team.
Okay, I'll take credit for it. No, I mean, as we talk about, like, our evolution from 16 on Center and being able to come from the bottle and come from space and come to Thalia and have these experiences that kind of snowball us into feeling comfortable to taking on a project like this. Like, even when I met Tim, Lakeshore Theater, whatever that other place that we won't talk about, you know, and being able to grow with us. I mean, there's a picture in, I think that you have it on your desk, of you at the Lakeshore Theater. And I mean,
22 years old.
These are all folks that came in through this company as not having very much any kind of education or experience with these things, including myself, and being able to take these experiences and really kind of build on them to where at this juncture we felt relatively comfortable coming into the space and trying to build something. And where you say, like, you guys have thought of everything. Well, we haven't, but the ability to be okay with that and understand that we didn't think of everything, but we will continue to evolve, I think that's really important to us. And I kind of think about it as the same way that you do sound attenuation, right? You want this to sound like a live music place, right? So we're not going to just deaden everything, but you have it become live, and then you figure out spots on how you can make it better, and you can improve everybody's experience. And then hopefully when you get a little bit further down the road, you've really created something that's evolved over time and is really just a great expression for what you were trying to do.
Well, to me, music has no rules. And it's always, you're always developing new things and doing things as you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, have you played any instruments? Are you
I am a terrible guitar player. So those who don't play end up working somehow in the music industry.
And Tim, do you?
Not at all.
No. Okay. I just love musicians and the talent that they do on stage. And, you know.
But what about us behind the scenes?
Well,
it's always about them.
That's so true, isn't it? What memorable shows have you had at some of the venues that stood out for you over the years?
Well, the old man brain of mine will take over. So I stopped asking that or answering that question a long time ago because it really is so many of them. But I kind of think it's moved on from the special experiences that I've had seeing someone that, you know, I've wanted to see for so long, or somebody that I've been in awe of for so long, or somebody that I picked up their record the other day or heard it on the radio and was just like, oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah.
And to me, it's more like these different snapshots in time of experiences that I have in a day-to-day of being in the place. And I can think of, you know, that it's countless ones to where, you know, seeing Matt Pike on stage at, you know,
in many of his iterations.
Yeah, spitting on our rug up there, you know, or like, you know, the feeling of seeing Wet Leg play at the Bottle after, you know, their quick come up and just the pure joy that people felt seeing it, or to seeing Lydia Lovelace, yes, last night, playing at the Bottle Acoustic 1 week after, you know, 4 days after we kind of arranged to have her just come on in, and this band Pontiac opened up for them. That was a whole bunch of chefs that play in Chicago, and just wow. to kind of see these people kind of experience and be up on stage and how that all works. These are all like moments and snapshots in time that I'm just really proud to be part of.
I know you
of.
Have the Flaming Lips coming up here.
Yeah.
And Wayne brought his band in at JBTV way at the beginning before anybody, he even sent us a little thing, if I could ever get on TV.
Yeah.
And just so talented. And Jeff Buckley, some of the artists that we've had.
The Flaming Lips was one of those moments at the Bottle that, you know, I think back on, especially in this period of time where Jack White just came back and played there, where, you know, they were playing on stage, and this was a band that I had been, I mean, such a fan of, you know, in my youthful days, to see them at my place, right, was just this mind-blowing experience for me. But in the middle of the show, with a way oversold show at the Bottle, if you'd ever been there for one of those.
Like 3,200 people easy.
600. They actually stopped playing in the middle of the show, and they walked through the crowd, which to me, like thinking of like a band getting off stage and walking through the crowd without being like, you know, beat up on their way through there, went over to a piano that was sitting in the front of the club that was a terrible piano, and actually playing like three a cappella songs in the middle of it is just
great.
Mind-blowing. And I mean, that's an experience that I've had. Jack White coming back after so many years and actually seeing somebody that had evolved in his career actually come back and being on stage and acting like a little kid the way that he probably was when he was there before.
So how did you decide at this place? How did you figure that this would be a great venue, the Salt Factory? It was a Morton Salt Factory at the time, it was called.
Right,
yeah. Now there'd be, if we'd be transported back 10 years or 5 years, whatever, there'd be salt everywhere.
There were, if you can see where these little concrete pieces are, these were all broken into bays, and these bays were filled up with different types of street salts, because that's what this facility was. And this was one of the two sheds. There were originally two sheds, which we like to say that we were so creative in the thought process of naming these sheds that there was the east shed and there was the west shed, because we're just so good at naming stuff.
But the east one's gone now.
The east one's gone because, you know, the corrosion that happens because of salt in the air, and we felt like we needed to just be able to save one. So the exoskeleton of the east shed is still present and acts as a proscenium for the outdoor stage now.
Right. And then there's another, like a conveyor or whatever, as you come
in,
which is
the conveyor belt that took salt off the boats, brought it into here, which then there was another conveyor that brought it into the packing house where they would pack salt up, and then the trucks would load up and take it to your neighborhood home remodeling store.
Yeah, whatever.
Right.
And you kept the back wall the way it is because it caved in. There was a famous, you can tell the story.
Yeah. When was that? That was 2015, 2010?
Something like that, yeah. Where the salt actually went on to the...
Yeah, apparently it was like over Christmas break or something, and there were temporary workers, and there, you can't see it here, but there was a yellow line, and the yellow line you can still see in the back.
Do not fill above this
do
line.
Do not fill above.
Yeah.
And they went way above.
Oh, okay.
And then it knocked out the south wall over all into McGrath Auto.
We were certainly hoping that they were going to sponsor that corner. We thought it would be a great opportunity for them to do it, but apparently they weren't as interested as I thought they'd be.
Well, they certainly don't know what they're...
don't see the humor in it yet still.
Yeah, right.
But you actually kept the graffiti and on that back wall, so you preserved...
Also in back of the bar on the main floor is the original graffiti tag that was there, and all along the front of the building as well.
Yeah, so you've actually kept all these... people that did this illegal stuff.
Well, you know, it's really kind of the, you know, Craig and I have always thought that these old buildings give more of an interior design look than anything us two knuckleheads could come up with, you know? And I think allowing the building to kind of, the history of the building to shine through is part of the magic of the places, you know, with Thalia.
Yeah.
There's so much there that, you know, I think the main part that we needed to do when we built that was to say, stop. You know, we don't need to do anything else to it. And it's the same thing with this. We've really tried very hard to keep, we could have scraped this whole thing and then built a vanilla box and just had a show. Probably would have been open, what, like a year earlier?
But
it was really important to keep everything as much as we could in this building.
Which I think is important because it's the character. It's like Talia
Absolutely.
Hall has got that character.
So much character, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know? And Empty Bottle, too, it's got that character.
Right. It might fall down, but yeah, it's got a lot of character.
But it's something about it, you know. But I'm impressed the way you got these luxury seats back here.
Yeah.
And there's not a bad place anywhere for viewing a show. It's like everywhere you go, you got a perfect view, you know?
Yeah, we just got lucked out with the bones in this place and being able to work with it. And yeah.
Now, you got this before the pandemic, right?
Yeah, we've been working on it for probably about 5 years
now. How did that affect you then? Because did it delay anything with the pandemic going on?
There was nothing here. This building probably could have withstand to just sit there and be nothing for a long time.
Yeah.
So we were actually in a pretty decent position with this. And, you know, we had a lot, you know, there's a, as much as we're pretty much doers, there was a lot of planning that needed to go into this before we could even set foot to even kind of going at this, right? Like even trying to figure out where basic, you know, like there has to be a starting point, and even trying to figure out where you go, okay, this is where we start. That took a lot of time.
Yeah. So you had to come in here and just stare at something, you know, for a long time and get the...
Yeah.
And so where was the first?
Yeah.
Where was the first? Because the ceiling was, there's actual holes in the ceiling too,
weren't
there?
Yeah, it was half the ceiling for quite a long time.
Yeah.
The ceiling was a big part of the first thing that we needed. We had to remove a lot of the ceiling. You know, a lot of it wasn't fit to be there. Right. And to remove that and kind of have a, you know, you have to build something that you can enclose so you can start working on the inside. So after we took the roof down, then you had to work on the structure to make sure that there was structurally sound to actually put a roof back on it. Right. So these are all the steps that kind of go into it. But in the meantime, there's conversations about, like, how do we provide this the best option or the best opportunity for the bands to really have a good time when they're here and really feel taken care of, and designing the space backstage and designing how the sound and how do we get people and how do we orchestrate between both all the buildings that are here. So, and the fairground, that was really important to us, kind of laying that out. It's kind of the centerpiece of what could happen on the summertime, as well as part of people's experience when they walk into this facility and to see an indoor show.
Right. And Tim was showing us how, with the outdoor stage, how they can still use the backstage here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's all laid out beautifully. I'm impressed.
If we had only moved the indoor stage outdoor.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Yes. So we're going to have, like, we're going to lift it up and we're going to
just throw it on some casters.
Just throw it on some casters and walk it around.
Well, you can extend the stage, too, the way you have it built here.
So we can extend the stage, and Tim had a really great idea. I'm going to say it was your idea. I think it was that we can move it out so that we can have different types of shows. We can actually move. Well, why aren't you talking about this stuff? You know more than I do.
Well, no, I mean, we decided for everything to be as modular as possible. Mm-hmm. So be it the actual size of the deck, the size of front of house, where the front of house is positioned, if we are using our, you know, our amps or monitor rig, everything can be moved. Everything is, like I said, modular. So we can accommodate.
I like the car in the background.
Yeah, the Elston Speedway.
Yeah. This neighborhood has totally changed, because I remember this neighborhood had train tracks in the middle of the street,
and
it was a rundown area.
Yeah, and the train tracks actually went through the front of our property, because the train would go up to the front of it, and they would
unload.
Load salt in there.
Yeah. And I remember this area was like industrial. Nobody would want, you know, it was like sketchy in a lot of ways. And but now it's turning into
a hole.
There's
a restaurant across the street.
Oh, really? Is that a good one?
It's a nice one, too.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
Yeah.
We were like, really? This is great.
So tell us about, you have shops and things here, too, right, that are a part of this facility?
We have shops, and we basically, we have retail, and we have a market area. We have Goose Island that's going, and they're going to move their original pub.
Ah.
From Clybourne is going to be on this property, which was really exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they've been a willing participant in our foibles for a long time. So it made sense to have, even though they're a bigger company now, to have them as be partners of what we were doing here. And we have a bunch of different retail. We have office spaces. We have shops. And, you know, now that we've at least gotten this to a position where it's operating and we can start kind of evolving this space, we can start working on the other spaces. Pizza Friendly Pizza is going to go serve pizza in there next week. We have some vintage stores that are going in there, so we're really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's so important. You're actually making an entertainment facility that is full. So, you know, people, when they come here for the show, they can have food, they can buy, you know, merchandise and shop and stuff. I love your entrance, too, at the beginning here where you got the wood floors and everything from whatever that was.
That was the packing house.
Oh, that was the packing house.
Yeah, yeah. And if you look at all the 2x4s are on their sides, which is how they built something that you could have amazing amount of weight being put on them without them stressing. So those floors will be here long after Tim and I are.
Oh, yeah.
Moved into our old folks' home together.
I'll be there first. So.
Yeah, the doors, the doors you come through were the truck docks.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the trucks would pull right up. And
I saw you have that old furnace back there still. Or whatever that was.
That boiler.
The boiler, yeah.
That's such an antique.
So that's cool. Part of it. Now, is this a historical site?
Yeah.
I think it's Chicago.
It is, okay.
Because you got the Morton sign. Did you have to repaint the Morton sign, too?
We did, twice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Once didn't go so well, and second time's there to stay.
Uh-huh.
No, the first time, we wanted the sign on there when we started to do construction on it, so it was so cold out, the only thing we could do is use vinyl. Uh-huh. And we knew that the vinyl lettering was going to come off. And I think the great thing about doing that was learning how important this building was to people. And when people saw the lettering come off, didn't really understand what was going on, but they were like, hey, you know, I hope you're gonna do better with the rest of the thing than you've treated this. And it was kind of interesting and really kind of heartwarming, even though we were getting beaten up, was to know that there were people that really cared about the site and were watching it and looking forward to seeing what happened here. And we've seen that after the first 6 shows that we've had, you know, how much interest there is in re-energizing this site and how much this is really going to be something for the neighborhood community that we're really excited about being part of.
Yeah, I can see, though, we're here where nothing's going on today, but there's going to be, like Talia Hall, it seems like you have a show like every single day just about.
Yeah.
And I can see this being that way because it is the perfect size venue to the, like, the Allstate or the bigger venues. You're sort of now the in-between venue, which I think Chicago needed a lot.
Well, but it's also the fact of having things outside and having those shops be open and having Goose Island be open and having people walking around in the second and third floor for the office places when those get things. It's a living, breathing organism that keeps growing. And even when there's not a show there, there are still things that are happening there. You know, even to have those fire pits outside with some couch furniture outside in the fairground and see how people are utilizing them and just hanging out there even after the shows. I mean, that's what this is for. You've got this beautiful view of the river. You're able to be part of what's going on at the river. We hope that there's going to be a boat dock, and we hope that there'll be
access to the rivers. Oh, wow, with the tourist boats that come through. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a really beautiful part of Chicago, and it's just another reason why this Chicago rules.
And it's a perfect view, too, from outside. You got downtown, you got this panoramic view of it and everything. So
that summer experience is really, really amazing.
Yeah.
The first show was, like,
mind-blowing.
Sending, like,
It was hectic, though, right?
Oh, it was extremely hectic. But like having those moments of
it
being
it was
able to
not
doing
don't
a show.
Don't make it harder than you thought that it was. It
doing,
was easy.
Doing a show in a construction zone is great. But honestly, like sitting back and watching everybody walking in that first day was, like I said, just sent shivers down my spine. It was really incredible.
Yeah, and to see, I mean, I've seen pictures of all the different shows now. And they all are beautiful, you know, especially when you had the lasers going and everything.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, I don't know if you feel this way, but seeing the different types of artists that we've had, they've been so different so far.
And having only five shows in, too.
Right, and having Iggy Pop here this weekend, which.
And then Phil Lesh the next day.
And Phil Lesh, like, we start to see how different types of music engage in this building, which is going to be interesting.
I would think any kind of music would be great here. It's just that kind of
but
facility.
It's a different experience, you know, like a vibe when you walk into one type of show to another type of show. It's a different experience. So it's like one of the greatest things for me as someone who's been part of like building these places is that you spend so much time in them by yourself. That moment where you see people engaging in this property the way that it was intended to be, it's a mind-blowing experience.
Yeah. I know I built a few studios myself. And
and when you see people coming in there, it's like, this is what it was all for.
But when you're like, when it's empty and you're looking at it and adjusting the lights, and what I like is you have some permanent lights already in here, so they don't always have to bring in their own.
And that was the great thing with these first five shows. We kind of span the gamut of seeing really big production, like Big Gigantic, which had a large video wall, huge floor package, and then
we stole their video wall, right?
No, unfortunately.
Darn it.
Those things are expensive.
Yeah.
You got to get the really good ones that look good on TV.
Well, that's why theirs look pretty good. We should have just grabbed that one.
Yeah, that was pretty nice. I could see you putting a wire cam in here too, you know, for shots, so, you know.
Oh, like an HD? The HD.
Well, like what they use in sports.
Yeah, no. I just figured out what you were talking about. I was like,
yeah, wire cam.
I always feel like those are going to hit me on the head.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, if they're done right, they won't hit you on the head.
Well, maybe we'll have to ask you about those things.
Yeah, well, what do I know? Yeah. Everything, just like what you were saying, it's evolving. With technology, I started out with 2-inch videotape.
Yeah.
And when we shot our first concerts, we'd have 1-inch machines and, you know, we'd have Metro Mobile Audio come, Tim. And do the audio ISO. And
I remember those trucks.
Yeah. We're
back
ready to
when
do them here.
We had actual reel-to-reel audio, 24-track, and did things that way. So, but now everything's digital, and everything's so much smaller, and it's a whole new world.
Yeah,
it's evolving, and what's happening with music too, with the way it's going, it keeps evolving and getting.
I think it has to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The situations outside of a studio or a practice loft or a venue, they're not changing. So I think the music inside and the people who are doing it has to change as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what was your first venue you started?
The first venue I started was Empty Bottle.
Okay.
But I worked in a place called the Blue Note in Columbia, Missouri for many, many moons and learned the ropes from some really great people who own that place.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that was your main, you know, I'm stuck in this business now.
You know, I try to tell people it was, I saw a friend of mine and I'd never been there before. A friend of mine took me there to see the Violent Femmes.
Oh,
and I was in the front row and somebody turned and threw up on my shoe. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, this is what I want to do.
This is rock and roll.
And I showed up the next day and tried to get this guy to hire me for like 3 months and just doing everything I can to be in there.
Yeah.
And like, it's crazy. Like, I remember just being there during the day because that's when stuff would happen. You know, I'd listen to him on the phone and he'd be talking to this woman in Chicago named Susan Miller. And, you know, like hearing all the Joe Shanahan and hearing these names of people that were doing this thing and you know, where I was from. So, I mean, it was very much like a community that I was looking for and something that I felt very strongly about.
Yeah. Well, we have such great venues here, but the fans in Chicago are the best ever.
Yeah.
They're music lovers. They care about the music.
They
They'll come
up.
Out to see a
they
brand
show
new
up.
Band
show up, yeah.
And they show up and they're respectful with the bands. You know, like remember when Green Day came into our studio, they said, you know, in LA, the people show up in limos and they sit like, entertain us. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like, we're a punk band. What are we?
Right.
You know, so I don't know what my point was, but.
Well, no, your point was is definitely honoring the fact that Chicago has amazing fans. And I don't know if it's that Midwest sensibility or whatever it is, but I find that people want to talk about music. People want to experience it, but to understand like what's going on and to be part of it. And I think for two guys that have made venues their primary focus in life, I mean, it's like knowing that there's a whole community out there that's interested in what you're doing. And, you know, I think that keeps us all kind of going through the long hours and, you know, the trials and tribulations. It makes it worthwhile to know that there are people out there that come in and really enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, it means so much.
Absolutely.
You know? And I am super impressed. This is a beautiful, beautiful facility you put together.
It ain't bad, right?
It's beautiful.
It ain't bad.
It's beautiful. You got decent sound system, and that's a main thing, too, you know. Like the Aragon, we've done a few shows there.
Well, we don't talk about other venues.
Okay, but...
We don't talk about
you know anyhow, enough of the venues. Just a great edition of JBTV. And we're here at the Salt Shed and beautiful
venue front.
I think every venue in the city has something special about
yeah.
it
yeah.
you know there's
we
not a
them.
Bad venue
yeah.
really anywhere
yeah.
you know
yeah, yeah.
So.
To be the mega location that we are as far as you know markets. We need all these other venues.
So what else is going to be in this neighborhood? Do you know, or have you heard anything? Or
we're getting a casino soon?
Oh, really? Is that?
Well, it's not our neighborhood, but
no. But is that in this area?
I mean, it's down the river, you know. Uh-huh. And then there's
I don't know what we'll get.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hopefully, a couple more restaurants.
Restaurants, couple more bars.
Movie theater.
Good. Yeah. Movie yeah. So do you have a place for parking for all the for people that come here? Is there a
Well, we're working on parking. We mm-hmm. had a lot last summer, and we're still working on that as well. And there's a number as people keep building in this site, we have a bunch of areas that we'll be using for parking as time goes on. So, mm-hmm. it's, like I said, it's all a work in progress, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Well, I don't have a car, so I don't, you know, people drive me everywhere.
You. Shouldn't that be how we're all traveling around these days?
Well, it's a good excuse, you know.
The most amazing thing was having... Like over the summer, to see how many bikes showed up.
Yeah,
we had what was the name of the bike store?
Working Bikes.
Wicker Bikes.
Working
Bikes.
Bikes.
Yeah. We
working
had Working
Bikes.
Bikes that kind of took over where the bike parking was, and it was incredible how many bikes came here, and they were doing like tune-ups on bikes, and I think that's the way to go.
Yeah,
you know? Ended up having to expand the footprint of it.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
We worked with Uber and Lyft to help us kind of figure out the way that. We can better get people in and out with ride shares, and we are six blocks away from the Blue Line at at Ashland, Milwaukee, and Division.
It's a perfectly centered location,
right? And yeah. I mean, as we all are worried about, you know, our environment and stuff like that, to be able to give those options that people can get to their places on. You know, public transit and mm-hmm. ride shares and bikes. I mean, that's the way we should be thinking. And the water.
Mm-hmm. And the water taxis.
Water taxi.
Yeah, you have to work out with them.
Bruce's water taxi.
To do a concert thing with them, too, you know. In the summer, they're packed. You
well,
know.
It was pretty crazy for our first shows of the summer after it had kind of gone on for a while to see all the kayaks and boats that were hanging out in the water.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Say, that they're watching the show for free.
We sent Tim in a rowboat to go collect them.
And you have the Ukraine flag on your building over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, we are in Ukrainian Village for the Empty Bottle, and mm-hmm. I mean, we're supporters. I mean, we need to try to figure out a way that we can get along in this world and not try to impart our beliefs on other folks.
Yeah. So. I think that's really cool you did that. Yeah. So, you know. But anyhow, this is awesome. So you're having fun here? Is this...
I don't think we know how to do it any other way. I mean, look, it's a lot of hard work. And, and being able to do something that you love and something that, like I said, you know that there are plenty of people in the community who feel the same. I mean, it makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
awesome.
And Tim still talks to me.
So that's okay. It's still good.
When I first saw Tim here, he had the construction hat. He made me wear a construction hat too. Oh, yeah. You know,
me
I
just, too.
Really? It's like yeah. I wasn't used to that. Things like falling off.
I didn't
off
think there was anything much that I had to protect myself from.
You'd be surprised. And he showed us around with the way everything was being put together and the air conditioning vents and all the stuff that you mm-hmm. planned out. It, you know. And I love the blackout curtains. Even though you got all these nice windows here, you got proper blackout curtains, so you don't have any light issues. You know.
Well, it gives us the opportunity. We have a lot of daytime programming and private events that are happening. So to be able to give both, you know, letting the light in, which there's it's beautiful to let the light in this place, mm-hmm. but also being able to have it properly dark and ready for a show.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I got to have it properly dark.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Everybody looks better in the dark.
What's your summer look like? You got a lot of shows booked already.
I'm going to go to Wisconsin for a little bit. And here.
I used to have a radio station in Milwaukee.
We're going to have quite a schedule this summer of shows that are coming up. And also, we're doing a couple food festivals, which we're excited. And there's the opportunity that we're looking at as far as being able to engage people on just being able to hang out and be part of what's going on, be it just a band playing outside or food trucks or to have access to that river. You know, there's a bunch of ways that we're going to be. The hope is to have this open all the time where you can have the ability to just hang out here. It doesn't have to be for a show. The show sometimes should be an afterthought, like, oh, I've been here all day. I had some food, whatever. Right. Oh, there's a show happening. I'll put my backpack in a locker and I'm going in.
Which makes this so unique because there's no other venue that is like that.
Yeah.
Anywhere I can think of, you know.
In the world.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah, this is world-class facility.
This is it.
In the awesome city of Chicago.
This is it. That's right. Best music city in the world.
It is. Yeah. Totally the best city. We are in the best place at the best time. And the pandemic was good probably to slow things down a little bit. But now it's all coming back stronger. I think people appreciate the shows a lot more now than they did a little bit before. Because there was like a year.
Chance to kind of like just focus on stuff, sure.
Yeah. So did you have
would have liked to do it somehow differently than having a pandemic to have this.
It would have been nice.
Ah, pandemics are over now.
That gave us a little moment to reset and, you know, especially like you said, at a place like Thalia, I mean, we're ripping 7 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, at times there and
that's always been busy, you know. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful facility too. You sort of have it covered from the smaller venue now. All the way to a mid-size to this size. It's the perfect combination, you know, where you're going to see baby bands start out at the Empty Bottle, right. And then they're going to move on to Thalia, and then they're going to come
it's
here.
It's almost like looking at the evolution of man.
Yeah.
You know, where it's the evolution of musical.
Yeah, you
musical,
got the
musical
crawl, walk.
Right, you know, right. We get a little bit more straight up as we walk.
We have to have one of those charts made.
I'm doing it right now.
Well, if anybody can do it...
We'll see if they let me.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule because you have, besides venues, you have restaurants and things, too, you deal
with,
right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're at restaurants and Dusex and the bottom floor of Thalia is opening with a new chef today, and we're really excited about that. And,
do you get to test out the food ahead of time?
I tell them I'm always available to test out food or drinks.
Yeah.
Those are good days.
Those are good days, right? You walk downstairs and it's like, well, we got food. Right. Yeah, there you go.
That's what we got today. Yeah.
Well, food's the best, you know. I love junk food. That's my whole thing, you know. Yeah. But all I'm eating now are TV dinners, so I guess it doesn't.
And Diet Coke.
I love Diet Coke. Are you a Diet Coke?
I do enjoy Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fine
beverage.
That
got me through my chemotherapy.
Which seems to be exactly the opposite of what you would expect.
Well, I don't know.
But the healing powers of Diet Coke have been unexplored at this juncture in the life. But
yes.
Maybe something.
Although I was thinking when I first got cancer, I think the diet, because that's all I drank was Diet Coke.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, well, I could sue them, make millions of dollars. But my doctor said, nah, there's no studies on that.
Call the AMA. Let's go.
Yeah. So, but now they serve it at Northwestern Hospital. They actually have Diet Coke there. So I think I had something to do with
ringing endorsement.
But anyhow, I'm a success story because they gave me 30 to 60 days to live, and here I am 5 years later.
God bless. Wow. That's
and I
amazing.
Feel
That's
great amazing. And everything. So again, the power of music.
There you go.
And you guys are at the forefront of it. So thank you for being on JBTV.
Thank you for
it's been
us.
A pleasure having out. You guys yeah. here. And whatever I can do,
come
you know.
Join us for a show sometime.
Anytime.
Really yeah. should.
See us at our best.
Yeah. Well, I think that happens all the time.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for watching this edition of JBTV. We'll have a lot more entertainment updates from the city of Chicago. This is Jerry Bryant signing off.
There you go, the JBTV podcast, where we bring you the best music, the best interviews, and it's all unscripted and totally unrehearsed. Follow us on all the social media and spread the word. This is JBTV Music Television, the JBTV podcast. JBTV.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.